together in the middle of the Bible, in the book of Psalms. I'd like to read a few verses of Psalms 25. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed with transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truths and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. I'd like to read through verse 14. Let's all bow before our Lord and pray.
We come before thee in this evening hour, after hearing thy holy word. We come before thee asking for a blessing, for strength to understand what was read, that thou would show unto us the ways of our heart, that we would grow in our walk with thee. Lord God, we thank thee for this opportunity to come into thy house in this midweek service, Lord, to give up of ourselves this time, and that this service would be according to thy honor and to thy glory, according to thy will, and that we would empty ourselves out. Lord God, we pray for thy word to be spoken to each and every heart, and even the words that are not spoken, that thy Holy Spirit would guide us, show us the ways that we need to take. Lord God, we thank thee for this moment that we could spend with thee, that we could come out of this world after spending several days in it. We could come to be refreshed by thy word, and that thy Spirit would help us to understand thy word. We pray for the souls here that do not know thee. Pray for those that are on the fence, that need some guidance, that need encouragement, that need admonishment. We pray that thy Holy Spirit would do the work, and thy Holy Spirit would teach us thy ways. Lord, teach us how to pray. Many times we have many thoughts in our hearts, and we know that thou knowest all things. We just ask that thou would humble us, and that thou would help us to pour out ourselves before thee. Lord God, we thank thee, and we praise thee, and just ask that this hour would be spent in thy name, giving thee glory, that we would not be distracted, that our minds would not wander, that our hearts would not fall asleep, that we would not be lulled asleep by the enemy, but that we would find rest and find encouragement in thy word. We thank thee, Lord God. Bless the brother that would speak. Bless our hearts, that we would have fruit to thy increase. Lord, we thank thee for all things and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And if the Lord's prayer is an outline of what to pray, then Psalms, the book of Psalms, is a guideline of how to pray. So tonight, I've been led through this week to walk a little through this book, through the book of Psalms, and specifically here in this chapter. And even more specific, if you would read with me verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And there's an interesting word in Hebrew that identifies that secret. And that word is dod. And that means secret counsel. More so, it's like an intimate circle. And if we delve even further, it's a friendship. The friendship of the Lord is with them. The call for God, for humanity and humankind to be his friend, and not surface level buddy-buddy relationships, but in a deep way, an inner circle, one that you would tell your secrets to. Many of us have relationships like that. And God is petitioning us to be a friend of his. You see, this book of Psalms is not merely prayers that we recite, but it's really windows into our own souls of how God relates to mankind. And it dives so deep into who we are and what we feel and what we experience that it's so important to meditate on these Psalms. Because it shows us and it gives us a glimpse of who God is, and in turn, exactly who we are. They also teach how real believers relate personally to God. These are actual individuals that wrote these Psalms, David and Heman and the sons of Korah and Asaph. These were real people that, as we'll learn, had real struggles. And it gets kind of raw. And we'll read some. That borderline between discontent and blasphemy. And why they're even in the Bible. You see, this relationship that God is looking for us to develop with him is not just a transactional relationship. It's something so much more deeper than an exchange of our service and God pouring down blessing. In the Psalms, it reveals a vibrant reality of who we are. And this biblical friendship, this biblical idea of friendship with God, it really begins before creation. You see, the defense for a Trinity is not only that one individual God then created everything else, but we could see that this friendship in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Spirit together, at the same time partaking in this friendship of pure love for each other. Because if it was just God the Father that then created everything else, then it would be about power. And all else would be subservient to him. But this picture of the Trinity, where you have three persons continually exchanging love to each other, is also a call for humanity, you and me, to enter into that same love and enter into that same friendship that they have. What a power. What a thought. My brother and sister, we have that power through the power of the Spirit living inside of us to enter into that friendship with God. We read in Isaiah 41, Abraham is called the friend of God. But thou, O Israel, art my servant Jacob, who I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Moses, in speaking with God, as a man speaks to his friend in Exodus 33, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. My friend, outside of Christ, God is not too far that you cannot speak to him. His ear is not dull of hearing, nor is his hand too short that it cannot reach you. Today, even in this sleepy Wednesday night, he's asking you to be his friend, to have a secret, intimate relationship with him, that you would know him, that you would know his love, and that you would choose his will for your life. The New Testament in Greek talks about three different kinds of love. Talks about a phileo love, an agape love, an eros love, and a theos love. And all of these loves have a different type of meaning, much different than English, where we just say love. Kind of like Hungarian, where it's so descriptive, and you could get really, really deep and really, really precise into what exactly you're trying to say. And if we look at two loves, eros is a love where maybe two people are looking at each other in an intimate relationship like a marriage. And they experience that friendship through that way. But then there's theos love. Theos love is a friendship type love. And C.S. Lewis describes it kind of like this. He describes it like two people looking at the same thing, then turning to each other and saying, "You too? You love that too? You had that experience too?" And what happens? We've all experienced this. A friendship blossoms. It starts to bloom because both of you, both of us, are looking at the same thing that we love together. This is how we as humans develop these relationships of friendship. And then God can also relate to us in that same way, where we read in with his experiences, with his trials, with his sufferings, and we can say, "You too, Lord?" We can see that he suffered, and when we suffer, we can say, "You too?" And when he was betrayed, we oftentimes feel betrayed, and we can say what? "You too?" And we build a connection. Because we can now identify with the one who is the object of our affection. Turn with me to Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verses 12 to 15. David here is talking about betrayal. "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hateth me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick to hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." David felt this betrayal. And if we look at verse 14, sweet counsel. Does that sound familiar? That's that same Daoud word. You know what's the thing about betrayal? Is that it never comes from an enemy. And our Lord experienced that betrayal. So if you go through life and you're experiencing something and you say, I must be the only one that's experienced this, let that thought not come. Because there's a psalm for that. Any trial that you face, any difficulty that you experience, there's a psalm for that. Even the trial as deep as betrayal. Christ is offering us to enter into relationship with him, not for us. Not for him to enter a relationship with us. It's on his terms that we engage in friendship with him. He offers, we obey. He commands and we submit. And it's through prayer that we foster this friendship, and it's how we communicate with God. Read the Psalms and listen to what God is saying. Psalm 19:8. "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." I might go a little fast here, so Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And then Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Communicate with our Lord, and in spirit and in truth. And that's one way to cultivate the Lord, speaking truth and speaking these psalms and in speaking to him in prayer. But every friendship has two-way communication. Psalms 85:8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. The Bible is the primary way God speaks. In Genesis, it says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. It does not say, let there be light, then God created light. Pay attention there. That's a strong delineation. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He didn't say, let there be light, then he created light. That identifies that his word is what is the energy that creates. Through his word, he creates. Psalm 33, 6 to 9, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. My brother and sister, what an encouragement. This is the God that we serve and the God that we have access to have a friendship with, to commune with, to speak to. You know, sometimes I think we struggle with speaking to the Lord because maybe we don't believe he'll come through in the end. Is that ever the case? Are you scared to pray to him? Do you lack faith, thinking that he won't come through in the end? Let the Psalms reinforce what you have experienced around you in believers, in those that you love, those that have already put their trust in the Lord and found him faithful as a friend. Prayer should grow out of meditation on God's word. Psalm 1, 2, and 3, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's a very familiar psalm, we know. The second is respond personally in prayer. This includes prayer, praise, confession, gratitude, and even honest expression. During times of suffering, we find hope. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But let's turn together to Psalm 88. There was a man named Heman, and he's Samuel's grandson. Heman was a Levite in David's court. He was a chief musician, and he wrote a very troubling psalm, Psalm 88. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear out of my cry, for my soul is full of trouble, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with thy waves. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Shall loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me all about altogether. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. What a psalm. What despair to pen these words. And here we read a psalm that borders on the line of discontentment and blasphemy. And how dare a human created being say something to this all-knowing, all righteous God? So why is this scripture? Why is this chapter in here? If it shows humans being so disrespectful to the God that created them, you may think of a few reasons. I thought of two. Grace. God understands the depths of the human condition when he or she is in utter despair, into the pit. God understands you when you doubt. God understands you when you don't understand. And this psalm is an example of that. Heman should have known. He was a chief musician. Did he just convert? He walked with God for a long time, and he pens these words. Doesn't matter how long you've been a believer. The struggle that we face is real. And it's in here because God understands. And the second reason why I believe it's in here too is that Heman isn't going around to the other individuals to gossip about God. He's going to God in prayer. Like Job. Job wasn't too off from this attitude here. But what did he do? He took it to the Lord in prayer. Because God is the one that is able to actually fitly respond, is he not? Could you respond in any way to him to give him encouragement? Maybe by your experience. But it is only God to put man in his place when he doubts, when he questions, to say, where were you when I created the Leviathan? Where were you when I moved the currents of the deep? When I lifted the mountains from the ground and brought the valleys low, where were you? You see, this chapter is here for us to say, yeah, I feel that way too, God. Sometimes I have those doubts too, just like Haman. But then to humble us and say, who am I? Who am I to question what the Lord has? Who am I to bring an accusation to the Most High? And ultimately, the blessing of this psalm, that we can understand and see a mirror of who we are in light of who God is. Meditate deeply. Allow biblical truth to engage in your heart, in humility. Psalm 131 is a very short psalm. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. It's these psalms that bring us into humility. It brings us into subjection to our Lord. And ultimately, spiritual transformation happens through mediation and then meditation and then implementation. For instance, if you're struggling with sin, as we all are, Psalm 119 is one that we should all commit to memory. Psalm 19, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So you may be struggling, saying, Lord, I keep falling into the same trap. Satan keeps having me stumble over and over again. Are you hiding his word in your heart? When Satan knocks on the door, are we responding as Christ responded? Get thee behind me. Or to speak a psalm to Satan? Speak a psalm to the doubt. Speak a psalm to the fear. A fourth way we can cultivate a friendship with God is to seek his face. And we could all relate, maybe many of you are working remote, or maybe you haven't seen an individual, only spoke with them over the phone. And when you eventually see them, what's the first thing you say? It's nice to put a face to the name. There's a connection when we meet each other face to face that's genuine, that tells so much. That reads off body language. A lot can be seen from your eyes, from your mouth, from your eyebrows. And there's so much communication that comes back and forth that's exchanged when we meet face to face. Have you ever sought the face of God? Maybe not what he really looks like, but this desire to be near to him, this desire to be close to him. Have you ever gazed upon the beauty of the Lord? Psalm 63 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so I have seen thee in the sanctuary. A desire to be in the sanctuary of the Lord. And not necessarily here, although here is great because we could gather together and we could discuss among each other the greatness of what the Lord has done. But to enter in spiritually into a sanctuary, into a secret place, God wants so much more than a buddy-buddy friendship, than a vending machine relationship where we put a dollar in and we get something out in return. He wants us to seek his face. Psalm 27 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face. Thy face, Lord, will I seek." When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, I will seek. Will you seek him? Will you seek his face? See, God uses sensory language. Why? Because that's how we experience life, through our senses. This is an effort for us to understand who he is. And he is looking to ask us and begging us and pleading us to understand him and to enter into friendship with him. The sensory application calls us not only know, but to hear him, to feel him, to see him, to taste him, to sense him, and ultimately to believe him in drawing him into our hearts like the very breath we need. This way, we experience that God is gracious. He is good. And in that grace, and in that goodness, God must be obeyed. In that grace, in that goodness, God must be obeyed. Moses asked to see God's glory, and it was shown to him in the passing of the cloud of Mount Sinai. Job moved from knowing God intellectually to actually really experiencing him in such a personal way. And Mary Magdalene was physically healed and transformed by Jesus. And she was the first to witness the resurrected Christ. Finally, not the last, but another way to cultivate a relationship with God, personal relationship with him in friendship and through prayer, is to remember the gospel. Christ-centered gospel. Because friendship with God was secured by Jesus Christ. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you remember those words Christ said on the cross? That didn't come from him. It came from Psalm 22 that he was quoting. A psalm. It was a prophecy about himself. Isn't that beautiful? Don't ever forget the gospel and what you were saved from. And my friends outside of Christ, what you can be saved from. That freedom and friendship in Jesus Christ that you can have. That oneness. How do you get through life on your own? Are you happy? Are you satisfied? Is this where you want to be? How are you getting through life without a friend in Jesus? How? The gospel is the center. Christ is the center. And Christ is all throughout the Psalms. Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send thy rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Christ himself calls his followers his friends. In John 15, he also, his sacrifice, removes barriers caused by sin, giving us the ability to be victorious over sin. Psalm 32, verses 1 to 7, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Doesn't that sound like the New Testament? This psalm sounds like Apostle Paul could have wrote it. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture was turned into drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in the time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass about with songs of deliverance. Redemption, atonement, forgiveness, all in that one psalm. So whatever you're going through, whatever trial you're facing, if you're questioning the Lord, turn to a psalm. Turn to the Lord in prayer. And fervently seek his face. Because our God wants you to know him. Our God wants you to engage in a friendship relationship with him that's so much deeper than even what we can experience between each other. There are times when we have a baptism or families get together and our hearts are so full. And we sometimes can say, does it get any better than this? It sure does. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Try him. Because there is a relationship, there is a God that is closer than a friend. Find it in Jesus Christ. Amen.